Blog Talk Radio.
It's the ride home at 5 with comedian, playwright, actress, and author Diva Mag, bringing you stop sign drama, entertainment traffic, red light scandal, highway news, side street suspense, and city-to-city knowledge here on the Diva Mag Show, your ride home from work. So buckle up and let's roll. Welcome to the Diva Mag Show. I'm your host, Diva Mac, here right home from work. Today, we're talking about what are pain meds doing to our bodies. You know, we take pain medicine because we're suffering from some type of injury that helps us to relieve the pain that we're going through. Now, we're talking about that because myself, I've been experiencing some pain and having to take some medications and just realizing what this medication is doing to my body. And there are commercials that are being read and saying, hey, this medication works for this, but there are so many different side effects that affect you as well, and not just cure, or not just taking away the pain, but causing other things in your body to go wrong as well. I know you all heard if you take too much Tylenol, it can affect your liver, cause liver failure. So we're going to talk about that in detail because we do have people that are on prescription drugs or even over-the-counter drugs that they have access to at any time that's affecting their body, that's killing major organs in our bodies. So we're going to talk about that here on the Diva Mag Show about painkillers and what it's doing to our bodies. Now, pain is an unpleasant sensation that may become discomforting at higher intensity. So the common sites or origin of pain are back, eyes, face, stomach, joint pain, tongue, etc. The trigger pain can be different types like severe, moderate, or even mild. Now, several types of painkillers are available in the market to get rid of the pain. Now, painkillers are available at your pharmacy either as over-the-counter drugs, but some may require prescriptions from a medical doctor. Now, we're going to talk about painkillers in detail. Now, there are painkillers which are NSAIDs, NADCS, non-sterile anti-inflammatory drugs works on the pathophysiological process that elicits pain, fever, and other signs of inflammation in the body. Now, corticosteroids pain relievers are usually given for the management of musculoskeletal injuries due to its effect on shutting down inflammation-causing processes and the pain which is triggered by a damaged or sensitive nerve in cases with if you have shingles or something like that, it's usually managed by nerve blockers and antidepressants. Now, these tablets have the capacity to modulate the perception of pain by the central nervous system. Now, some painkillers are used as muscle relaxants to decrease the intensity of pain triggered by the muscles group. Now, this killer acts as sedative for the central nervous system as well. Now, the reason behind consuming medication is to improve the quality of life, and it's important to realize that every painkiller is associated with some side effects in short-term or long-term. Therefore, it is wise to learn and identify potential disadvantages before consuming any particular type of painkiller. Now, I've taken codeine. I don't know if you have taken codeine or ibuprofen over-the-counter or Tylenol. I've even taken Tramadol, morphine when I was in the hospital. They do have morphine in a pill form. But when you're in the hospital and you have a baby, 9 times out of 10 in your IV would be some type of morphine. And everything's increased at different increases of dosage and how much you're taking can affect different parts of your body, a different liver. Now, when we're talking about painkillers, if you're just now tuning in to Diva Mag Show, talk about how painkillers work when part of your body is injured, special nerve endings and pain. That's just back to your brain. Painkilling drugs interfere with these messages, either the site of the injury in the spinal cord or in the brain itself. Many painkillers are based on one of the two natural occurring drugs, aspirin or opiates. Aspirin uses a chemical found in willow bark used by the ancient Greeks to relieve pain. Now, opiates all work in a similar way to opium, which is extracted from poppies. If you're just now tuning in to Diva Mag Show, we're talking about painkillers and what it does to your body. The risk of depression and we're taking some of these painkillers increased by long-term use of prescription painkillers. And Dr. Marcella said if you take prescription narcotic painkillers known as opiates for 90 days or more, you may significantly raise your risk of developing major depression, according to new research that adds to growing concerns surrounding the use of these common medications. Now, my mother was taking, like, I can take Vicodin, and it makes me really happy. So it controls my mood. Now, it doesn't just take away the pain, but it makes me happy. It's like a happy pill to me. Now, my mom takes it. She's up all night, and her shoulders are hurting, and she's feeling down and frustrated. So it does the opposite to everybody. So it's your chemical makeup is different. When those, they're talking about opiates now. While those who took the drugs for 90 to 180 days of opiates have a 25% increased risk of depression, now those who took opiates for 180 days or longer were at a 53% increased risk of developing depression compared to those who did not. In other words, the risk seemed to go up the longer the painkillers were used, and also went up as the doses increased. And you'll find people that their body will get immune to it, and they have to have more and more and increasing in the dosage, and they have to add something to it. And the dangers of adding a street drug to your prescription drugs as well is really dangerous and fatal. Some people have lost their lives on a type of drug, and there are different reactions that it takes on your body that can actually kill a person or have them severely injured by taking a certain prescription. And people, a lot of us are not aware of that. You know, we figure a doctor prescribes us this painkiller and it's going to do exactly that, you know, kill the pain, but it also can kill other things and other organs and have effects, severe effects on our bodies just by taking a painkiller. It's supposed to help us with the pain and it eases us at the same time. Now, it's what might prescription painkillers lead to in depression? We'll talk about that. It's not entirely clear how the drugs may be involved in depression, although it is widely known that they have a strong impact on your brain. The drugs work by binding to receptors in your brain to decrease the perception of pain, but they also create a temporary feeling of euphoria followed by disillusion sometimes, euphoria that can easily lead to physical dependence and addiction. Now, the researchers speculate that there could be numerous factors linking opiate painkillers with depression. Some of these include opiate-induced resetting of the brain's reward pathway to a higher level, which means that the chronic use of narcotic painkillers can elevate the threshold for a person's ability to experience pleasure from natural rewards such as food or sexual activity. Other factors may include body aches months and years after the use of opiates has stopped. Side effects such as adrenal, testosterone, and vitamin D deficiencies and glucose dysregulation. Use of prescription opiate painkillers has quadrupled or more and over the years. Now, the study led authors shared of the starting statistics that the use of prescriptions opioid has quadrupled recently, and that more than 200 million prescriptions were issued to patients in 2009 in the U.S. Given the magnitude of their use, their link to depression could constitute a public health problem. Now, it wouldn't be the first time the drugs have been linked to health problems, epidemic proportions. Now, prescription drugs abuse has been called the fastest growing drug problem in the U.S. by the Center of Disease Control and Preventive, as the number of deaths from opiate painkillers like hydrocodone and oxycodone rose nearly fourfold between 1999 and 2009. Men are still more likely to die from prescription painkillers overdose, but women are quickly catching up. Now, nearly 50,000 such deaths occurred among women between 1999 and 2010, and the statistics revealed by the CDC to give a sober view of the growing problem. Now, more than 6,600 women, or 18 women every day, die from prescription painkillers overdose in 2010. Now, there were four times more deaths among women from prescription painkiller dose overdose than from cocaine and heroin deaths combined in 2010. Now, in 2010, there were more than 200,000 emergency department visits for opiate misuse or abuse among women, about one every 3 minutes. Now, the problem was primarily seen in inner cities, is now even spanning to rural areas, hitting people of all ethnicity backgrounds and income levels. Now, opiates are among the most commonly abused drugs. Opiates like morphine, codeine, oxycodone, hydrocodone, fentanyl are one of the most commonly abused drugs of its class. Now, the drugs are not only addictive, they can lead to slowed breathing, and death if too much is taken, and the risks are compound if you add alcohol to the equation. Hydrocodone, the prescription opiate, is a synthetic heroin. It's indistinguishable from any other heroin as far as your brain and body is concerned. So if you're hooked on hydrocodone, you are in fact a good old-fashioned heroin addict. Worse pain-killing drugs like fentanyl are actually 100 times more potent than natural opioids like morphine, making the addictive potential and side effects associated with prescription drugs used more higher. At the root of the problem, of course, is the fact that so many Americans are struggling with pain. Chronic pain affects 100 million Americans. That's more than the number are impacted by diabetes, heart disease, and cancer combined, yet many physicians simply do not know how to help their patients manage or eliminate chronic pain without the use of risky drugs. Now, the pain prescription that won't increase your prescription that won't increase your risk of depression or any other chronic disease. Now, if you're suffering from chronic pain, prescription medication should be your last resort. Rarely, if ever, should they be your go-to option. If your physician has not spoken with you about some of these natural methods to address pain at its most foundational level, it may be time to seek out one who will. And the four steps that are recommended, we're going to go over those, includes start taking a high-quality animal-based omega-3 fatty like krill oil. Omega-3 fats are precursors to mediators of inflammation called prostaglandins. Now, in fact, that is how anti-inflammatory painkillers work. They positively influence this particular nerve, and the omega-3 fats EPA and DHA contained in krill oil have been found in many animal and clinical studies to have anti-inflammatory properties, which are beneficial for pain relief. Now, reduce your intake of most processed foods, as not only do they contain an addictive, but most are loaded with omega-6 fats that upset your delicate omega-3 and omega-6 ratio, which will contribute to inflammation, a key factor in most pain. Eliminate or radically reduce most grains and sugars, especially fructose, from your diet. Avoiding grains and sugars will lower your insulin and leptin levels. Elevated insulin and leptin levels are one of the most profound stimulators in anti-inflammatory prostaglandin production. That is why eliminating sugar and grains is so important to controlling your pain. Optimize your product of vitamin D by getting regular appropriate sun exposure, which will work through a variety of different mechanisms to reduce your pain. Now, there are different and natural options before even considering painkillers for chronic pain. Now, when we're talking about pain, if you're just now tuning in to the Diva Mag Show, we're talking about what is pain, the pain medicine that we're taking, what is it doing to our bodies? In the show, we'll talk about the medicines we take for pain and the risks that they potentially have on our health as a whole, as it's supposed to be helping us. But actually, what is doing that pain, it still exists in your body. You still have that pain there. It's not treating the pain. It's just really masking the pain so that you can have some rest, so you can be at ease. And that's what the pain pills do. It does not cure you of anything that you have. It just helps you to relax and alleviates the pain that you have so that you can live a better quality life. For instance, like me dealing with the pain that I have in my back, you know, I take a pain pill and it masks that pain, but I'm up and I'm able to do things that I normally would be able to do if I didn't take the pain medicine. But what happens is I start to believe that, hey, I'm fine. But what happens is once that pain medicine wears off, I find out I'm not no better than when I first started. So I have to take time from taking the medication so I can see where I'm truly at if I'm not on medication, if I'm not on any kind of pain meds. So understand, if you're taking pain pills to mask the pain, you're not helping yourself with the problem. And again, these drugs become very addictive, and they're more addictive than the drugs that are out there on the street. And that's why we're talking about this here today on the Diva Mag Show. We're going to take a little music break, and we'll be right back as we continue to talk about what our pain meds doing to our bodies here on the Diva Mag Show. You're right on from work.
Day and night.
Welcome back here live on the Diva Mac Show. I'm your host, Diva Mac. You're right home from work. If you're just now tuning in to the Diva Mac Show, we're talking about what are pain meds doing to our bodies as we continue to talk about medicines that we take or prescription drugs, painkillers that are having effects on our body. And we're going to talk more in detail now as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show, what parts of the body may be severely damaged by painkiller abuse. Now, your lungs, because opiates and similar drugs suppress the body's ability to breathe, they interfere with the normal function of the lungs, and thus medical research has found that opiate abuse is associated with a greater risk of pneumonia. The inhalation of painkillers, as when an opiate like oxycodone or hydrocodone is smoked, also results in a buildup of fluids in the lungs, according to British Medical Journal article. The result can be shortness of breath for the drug abuser. Now, stomach and intestines as well. Now, the opiates are very well known for causing constipation, even at the normal dosage. Abuse of painkiller means that the abuser is taking far more than the drug than the doctor would ever recommend. And long-term abuse of painkillers means that many users will need to rely on laxatives to move the bowels of risk damage to the anus, painful tears called fissures or the sphincters. There is a further syndrome that is suffered by opiate abusers, according to the International Foundation for Functional Gastrointestinal Disorders. A narcotic abuser can suffer from narcotic bowel syndrome, or NBS. And this disorder is a result of a slowing down of the bowel function. The symptoms include nausea, bloating, vomiting, abdominal distension, and of course, constipation. When a person is given opiates for treatment of stomach or abdominal pain resulting from injury or cancer, these drugs may actually make the nerves more sensitive and make pain worse instead of better. And the patient suffers a severe cochlear pain. The same problem can occur when a person is abusing one of these drugs. Your liver is affected as well. Every drug is broken down and processed by the liver. Now, the liver is therefore heavily stressed by prescription painkillers abuse and can store toxins from the breakdown process. But the most significant liver damage results are from the acetaminophen, which is found in Tylenol. And this is included in many of the formulas. Common drugs like Vicodin, Lortab, Prozac have high doses of acetaminophen. When these pills are abused, very high levels of acetaminophen can cause liver failure. Now, some people who abuse these drugs process these pills through a washing technique that is supposed to remove most of the acetaminophen. Now, many people skip this step and abuse the pills in their original forms. Now, in 2011, the FDA eliminated the amount of acetaminophen in an opiate painkiller to 325 milligrams per pill in effort to save the lives of some people who were abusing these drugs. One of the FDA staff committed overdose for prescription combination products containing acetaminophen account for nearly half all cases of acetaminophen-related liver failure in the U.S., now many of which result in liver transplant or death. Now, despite this limitation, many abusers take for more of the combination than it is recommended. As many as 50,000 people are rushed to the emergency rooms each year as a result, with more than 200 of them dying. Muscle and kidneys as well. If a person abuses painkillers to the point of becoming comatose, he can suffer severe and life-threatening injury that has nothing directly to do with the respiratory suppression effect of the drugs. A condition called, let me think, what is the name of this? I can't think of the name right now, but there's a condition that occurs, and this is what it is. It's a rapid breakdown of the muscle tissue that results from a person lying completely immobilized for a number of years. It's on the tip of my tongue, y'all. I'm sorry. Rigor mortis, that's what it is. Rigor mortis sets in, and then the compression of the experience by the muscles causes the tissue to begin to disintegrate. Then the chemicals that are produced by this disintegration pour into the bloodstream and cause a chain reaction of damage in other organs. Now, this is a leading cause of kidney failure. If dialysis is not started in time, a person can die. Damage to the heart can also occur, including heart attack. Now, chronic use of the painkiller for years can have directly damaging effect on the kidneys, leading to the need for dialysis or transplant. It is not the opiate of the painkillers that disables the kidneys, but the secondary secondary, such as acetaminophen. Now, while these would be enough to scare most people away from abusing these drugs, there are even more threats from snorting, injecting, or even swallowing these drugs, you all. So if you're just now tuning in to Diva Mac Show, we are talking about what painkillers are doing to our bodies. Do we take it for the pain, to relieve us of the pain so we can have a better quality of life? Being like myself, being able to take a pain pill to get through the day, to be able to get out of bed, to be able to function in my day, because sometimes without it, I'm not able to do my normal chores or do my, lead my normal life, is taking care of my business, and sometimes even performing. I've been in shows where I had to take a couple of Vicodins because I couldn't perform in that amount of pain. I mean, excruciating pain. We got to the point where I felt like I'm trying to find somebody who got some Vicodin, as if I was an addict, because I had to have something to relieve that pain, and the thing is, it only relieved the pain for a certain amount of time, and then I needed more and more and more to actually take care, the more I took, the more I needed, instead of, getting that. When we talk about, if you talk about your back, having that pain in your back, if you ever suffered with back pain, then you know exactly what I'm talking about and how excruciating that pain can be, and you just want to alleviate that, and once taking a pain pill, and it alleviates the pain, and you're able to be productive, you continue to take that. So I had to decide, okay, I need to find out how much pain I'm in. So I didn't take the pain medicine for days and days, and I was able to find out, it's pinpoint what my pain level was, and if I was healing at all. A lot of times they'll put you on painkillers to allow your body to heal so that you're not stressing, because it will raise your blood pressure. Pain will raise your blood pressure. I don't know if you ever went to the doctor and they'll check your blood pressure, ask you how much pain you're in, and a lot of times your blood pressure will raise based on how much pain that you're in. It'll raise your blood pressure. There are so many types of we're going to get back talking to the damaging before we wrap up the show. Overall life-threatening risk of abusing painkillers and taking painkillers, and understanding the side effects of the pills that you're taking for the pain. There are some types of damage that do not target a specific organ, but simply threaten one's overall health or survival. Specific threats associated with injecting or snorting drugs, while the heroin addict can be damaged by the adulterants they're added to the heroin, the prescription painkillers addict may be in by the addicts to some of the opiates, meaning similar to opiate painkillers. And we're going to talk about it in Tennessee in January 2013. Health officials noted that individuals who had been injecting the painkiller, opiate, ER extended release, developed a disorder that caused blood clots to form in small blood vessels around the body. Now, the disorder can be fatal. These individuals had been crushing the pills so that they could inject them. People who inject painkillers run many of the same risks as heroin addicts. Many addicts neglect their health to the point of sharing needles or having risky sex, either one of which can result in the transmission of blood-borne diseases like HIV or hepatitis B or C. You all, if you're just tuning in to Diva Mac Show, we're talking about the use of painkillers and how it affects our body, and especially if you're using it and you become an addict to it or overuse it. Infection, let's talk about a little bit about infection, and chronic opiate abuse has been identified with many different types of infections, such as cellulitis, which is an infection of the surface of the body. Cellulitis can cause swelling, blistering, and open sores, and if it spreads to the lymph glands, it can spread quickly through the body as well, and it can also collapse veins and also likely to develop as users hunt for different injection sites around the bodies. If you're just now tuning in to the Diva Mac Show, we're talking about painkillers and what pain meds are doing to our body. And if you want to chime in, if you have any questions regarding a painkiller, if you're taking a certain type of painkiller, we could talk a little bit more in detail about that. Now, I was taking Tramadol, and again, it made me feel happy at some point, and then after a while, it had me up a little bit, and I'll fall asleep, and it'll have me back up, and so I couldn't really get any true rest, even though the pain was gone. It took away the pain, but it caused me to be, I won't say pain, paranoid. I mean, it made me restless, if that makes any sense. I was pain-free, I was drowsy, but I was restless. And with Vicodin, it made me happy. I was in a good mood. You know, no matter what you said, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. That, you know, it put me in a good mood, but it made my mother depressed. And so each one has a different effect. And, again, even over-the-counter medications like Tylenol, you know, which can cause severe liver damage, especially in children. If you have children out there, and I'm sure your doctors told you, your pediatricians told you to be careful when treating a child with fever, making sure that you are rotating in ibuprofen or Motrin and Tylenol because of the effects that it has on the liver and how one can suffer from liver damage by taking too much of the acetaminophen. And I have someone ask me, what are opiates? Now, opiates are originally derived from the opium poppy and have been used for thousands of years for both recreational and medical processes. Now, the most active substance in opium is morphine, named from Morpheus. Now, it's also the codeine, a less powerful drug, is also found in opium. Both of these opiates relieve pain, relax muscles, and cause drowsiness. And all opiates mimic your body's own painkillers. Morphine is a very powerful painkiller, but it's also very addictive. And I hope I was able to answer that question for you. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I'll make sure you tune in tomorrow at 5 on your ride home from work at 5 p.m. Diva Mac. And don't forget this Saturday, which is the day after tomorrow, we will be performing. I'm excited about performing the play Situation Number 9. Make sure you come out. You can still get your tickets by calling 281-496-2796. Again, the number is 281-496-2796. Come on out and enjoy the show at the Midtown Arts Center, located at 1423 Holman Outlet Branch, across from Houston Community College. Showtime is 8 p.m. You all be safe. Be careful out there. No texting and driving. And again, I'm your ride home for work, Diva Mag. Remember, you owe it to yourself always first to be healthy, happy, and successful. Again, take care. God bless you all.
It's the Ride Home at 5 with comedian, playwright, actress, and author Diva Mag, bringing you stop sign drama, entertainment traffic, red light scandal, highway news, side street suspense, and city-to-city knowledge here on the Diva Mag Show, your ride home from work. So buckle up and let's roll.